All right, so we'll catch Joseph and Joseph at a later point, but we're thankful. Thankful for each one of them. All right, well, this morning, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Romans chapter 1. And I've got to confess something to you as we begin here, and that is that this is not your typical Mother's Day text. And it is certainly not politically correct. But I feel like, you know, there's a starting point here. Now, I am going to speak to moms a little bit, okay? So, you know, I definitely want to address that. But I want to kind of take a broader view for a moment and think about where we are as a culture and as a nation. Because, frankly, we're struggling today in our nation. And we are in danger of seeing really a catastrophic meltdown of the family and of the order that God has placed for us to follow and to observe. And so as we begin, let me just say this, because, man, I love everybody and I'm not up here to offend anybody, but I will say that I am an equal opportunity offender. And so I will offend you all at some point if God, you know, speaks. I don't want to offend you at all. You know, I really don't. But the Word of God may. I'll just be honest. The Word of God is offensive today to many people. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to know about it. They want it completely cut off and shut off. And the voices are becoming louder and more strident. And it is alarming in some ways what we're seeing in our nation. So we're just going to let the Word of God speak, first of all. And so look with me in Romans chapter 1. And let's get this the flow of this passage. So let's begin in verse 16. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. And if you found your place and you're able, would you join me in standing in honor of the reading of God's Word. Romans 1, 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Well, let's pray. Father, we ask today that you would speak. Lord, I don't want to be seen, heard. God, hide me behind the cross of the Lord Jesus. And Lord, I pray that you would give me only what you want me to say. Lord, nothing more, nothing less. And Father, I pray that you would bless each one who hears today. Lord, let them hear the voice of your Spirit and let them hear the Word of God and do a mighty work, I pray, in their hearts. Lord, we love you and we thank you so much for your Word. Lord, touch our nation today and draw us back to the gospel and back to the Word of God. We pray and ask it together in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, you know, as we look at our lives today and our families and where we are, it's difficult in a lot of areas. But the challenges of being a faithful and a godly mother today are considerable. There's a lot going on that are working against what the Bible presents for us. And you know, here's the bottom line for me. You know, I think that we all know everybody ultimately wants to be happy. I mean, except for a few curmudgeons who attend church on Sunday morning, but no, I'm kidding. We want to be happy. We want to enjoy life. We want to be blessed. We want to, you know, enjoy our families. That's normal. That's just, everybody has that. But today, what we're seeing is we're seeing all this wonderful enlightenment that's happening. And we're being freed from all these constraints of the past, meaning largely the Word of God. And these old-fashioned ideas about what it means to be a man, to be a woman. And folks, look at where we are. Look at the national discussion that we've been having on transgender issues. That's where we are today. And the alarming part of it is that for many people, if you have a viewpoint on this issue that's what we would consider biblical, traditional, conservative, they will look at you like you're some kind of an animal, some kind of a terrible person. And so, let me just say, God created male and female. And yes, there, young people have confusion sometimes. That's absolutely true. But the head of psychiatry at Johns Hopkins University, at the hospital there, was involved with treating people who had these transgender kind of issues, and was involved in doing sex change operations and this sort of thing. And here's what he decided. He finally decided, you know, what we're doing here is we're treating a psychological problem with a physical solution. And the head of psychiatry at Johns Hopkins said, it doesn't work. This does not fix the problem. And I saw a testimony on a video testimony the other day. It's one of the saddest things I've ever seen. It was a man who'd had a sex change operation and then came to Jesus Christ and was saved. And it's one of the saddest things I've ever seen in my life. But he was very clear that he had trusted Christ and he knew who he was in Christ. And he knew no matter what had been done to him or anything else. Folks, people are hurting. And I'm not up here to pile on anybody who's hurting. Those are significant issues. That's deeply troubling waters. And it's not uncommon. You know, I mean, that happens a lot. I mean, you see a lot of girls. We have some in this room, most likely, who grew up more of a tomboy than a little girl. We have some of those. I mean, they mostly had guy friends instead of girlfriends. And that, you know, but you know what? The vast majorities of children who grow up with any kind of, you know, of that thing going on, the very vast majority of them are fine by the time they reach adulthood. You know, it just resolves itself. It works out. And yes, there's some who need help. Yeah. And it's great that they have help. And there is help available. But I just want to encourage you, you know, if someone in your family or someone you know is struggling with these issues, the first and most important thing is the gospel of Christ. Christ can bring peace to your heart. He can help you with the issues you face. And then there's help available. And thank God there is. And I'm not in any way, you know, denying that there are significant issues. And man, we need to love on those people. And we need to pray for them and encourage them. And be there. You know, we cannot afford to turn away. We cannot afford to reject anybody. We need to love on them. And, well, so here's what we see. I was reading Eugene Peterson's way of expressing verses 25 and 26. He wrote The Message, which is a paraphrase of Scripture, but has some great thoughts in it. Here's what he said about those two verses, or of those two verses. He said, "Worse followed. Refusing to know God, they soon didn't know how to be human either. Women didn't know how to be women. Men didn't know how to be men. Sexually confused, they abused and defiled one another. Women with women, men with men. All lust, no love. And then they paid for it. Oh, how they paid for it. Emptied of God and love. Godless and loveless wretches." Well, folks, there is a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof is destruction. And I want to encourage you, because we're celebrating today moms, and boy, that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. And it is a blessing. It is a joy. And if you haven't hugged your mom, if you had a chance, you know, please make sure you do that. But, you know, as we come to try to figure out, well, how are we going to be happy and fulfilled people? How are we going to have the joy in life that we want to have? That's what everybody wants. How are we going to have it? May I just suggest to you, it's going to come through the Word of God. It's going to come through the principles and the truths of Scripture that have been written for us. They are our guidebook through troubled waters, through churning seas, through all the struggles and the trials and the pains that we have. Folks, the words of God are given for us. And I want to encourage you today, because we all have some struggles and some issues. And, you know, this text may not have spoken directly to you, but yet we all are in the same boat. And either we're there either as a saved person who's been forgiven by the grace of God, and Jesus has washed us and made us clean, and that's awesome. Or we're there and we're still struggling in sin. And I want to just say to you today, if that's you, Jesus Christ loves you so much. Doesn't matter what your sin is. Doesn't matter what your problem is. God loves you. And He wants to save you. He wants to forgive you and have relationship with you and help you. Well, so there's a lot of truth today. I think that we willingly throw out because we take the Word of God out of our public life. And we take it out of our parenting, and we take it out of our marriages, and we take it out of our family life. But I just want to say to you today, one of the greatest needs today is for moms who love the Lord Jesus Christ with all their heart, who love Jesus more than they love their own flesh and blood. In some ways, that's kind of hard to fathom. Because I know some of these mamas around here. And I mean, they'd fight you in a heartbeat if you go after their kids. And you know, there you go again. The latest discussion we've been having the past week or two is on whether we should have women registering for the draft. That's currently been proposed in Congress. So, you know, you young ladies, you may get to do that soon. You may get to register for the draft. And folks, it's not that women can't fight. Let me be very clear. I've known some fighters. I mean, women who could flat out take you out if need be. And it's not that women aren't capable and wonderful creatures. That's not the case at all. But you see, God's given us some specific roles within the family and within the culture. And when we follow the Word of God, man, there's blessing there. There's blessing there. There's good stuff there. But when you follow the politically correct ideas of the day, what you're going to find is turmoil and pain and struggle. And so I want to just commend you today to realize, you know, in some countries of the world, they don't have a belief system like we have traditionally had, where, you know, if there's a boat sinking, you know, when the Titanic sank, I mean, they had people lining up, and it was women and children first. Why would we do that? Because there's something within us that God has placed within us that says, take care of those who are weaker or somehow less able. And as men, it's not that we're supermen. It's not that we have all power. We don't. But there's something within us that's bred into every fiber of our being that we want to stand and protect our women. Am I overstating that, fellas? But you know what? In some countries of the world today, there is nothing like that. I heard about a ferry sinking in one of the Asian countries, and very different belief systems from ours. And here's what happened. Instead of, well, let's get these women, let's get these children, let's, you know, it was every man for himself. And the men were the first ones off. Not caring if the women survived. And look, that is not what God intended. That is not what God created when He made us in the first place. But when you reject the truth of God and you receive the lie that verse 25 says, you change the truth of God into the lie. Well, at that point, we become susceptible to every false idea, every wrong thought, every wrong doctrine that can come along. Well, I want to encourage you. Let's look together in Genesis chapter 1. And let's just remind ourselves of a couple of very important truths as we consider this whole issue. You know, Paul speaks here on homosexuality. And look, it's just plain as the nose on your face, most of you. Some more plain than others, but it's just black and white. There's no doubt about it. Okay, I mean, and I know there's people who are writing books about how that the Bible really doesn't condemn homosexuality. Folks, that's simply not true. The Bible is very plain. Well, here's the basis. Here's the underlying basis for all of this. Notice Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. In the beginning here, verse 26, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. God has done this. It is a wonderful thing because male and female together reflect the very image of God. Okay? You can't have the image of God if you just have a man standing there. You see, there's so much more to God than just your sex, your gender. But together, the man and the woman together present a beautiful picture of the image of God. I mean, some of you men, you know this. Your wife is so different from you are. You know, they're different. They have different things that they do that you can't do. Nurturing and caring and, you know, little things that daddies love and they, you know. But I mean, a dad, his idea of taking care of the kids is, the kids, yeah, they're around here somewhere. I saw them earlier right before I took my nap. Dads are just different. I mean, they'll fight for those little ones too, but they're wired different and it's okay. I mean, not losing track of the kids maybe. That might not be okay. But, you know, we're different and it's okay to be different and it's okay to be created different. And that's a big part of this whole thing. Folks, you're created. You're made. You're designed. You're not the product of chance. You're not the product of evolution. You've been created male and female, and it is a wonderful thing. It is an awesome thing. Now look in chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 21. And notice what happens here. We talked a little bit about this last time. "The Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof." By the way, I saw baby pictures this week of Adam and Eve. I'd never seen those before. Have you seen those? Adam's was a pile of dirt. Eve was a rib. I thought that was interesting. Okay. All right. Verse 22. Sorry, I just had to throw that in there. No charge for that. Verse 22. "And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." Guess what, God? Y'all, God made this whole order. He gave us this wonderful gift of sexuality. And it is a wonderful gift from God. And when we exercise it in the way that God has said, it is beautiful. And it's amazing. And it's awesome. It's everything that we could want it to be. But when you get it out of order, when you go about it in the wrong way, and I'm not just talking about homosexual sex here, I'm talking about heterosexual. If you're having sex before marriage, if you're having sex outside of marriage, look, God has the plan. God has put a boundary around this thing and said, if you'll do it my way, I will bless you. I will bless you. I will bless you. But if you get outside the bounds, if you get outside, across over those lines, if you cross the fence that I've erected around it, it's not that I've kept you from enjoying something. It's not that I've given you something so that, you know, you can't have it. He said, I'm giving it to you so you can enjoy it at its very best. And if you will do it God's way, it's an awesome thing. It's a wonderful thing. And so, man,
something to be excited about there. God's given us a great gift, and we need to be thankful for the way that God puts the family together, because we need moms, but we need dads. You know, we need the whole thing, and God is able to work through all that. So I guess today, you know, we can spend more time talking about. Let me just close up our thoughts on Romans here real quick, and then we're going to turn to another text for a moment. But, you know, we can look at our society, we can look at where we are, and we can look at where we're headed. But I think if you'll look in verses 29 and following right there, you'll see where our culture is in many ways. It says, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness. If you think we're not there in our culture today, just get on social media. Just get on Twitter and read some of that stuff. And there is a rancor. There is just an edge. People can be responding about the most simple little topic, and before long they're insulting each other and they're calling each other names and they're, you know, entering into this kind of stuff. Folks, what's the end of a society that suppresses the knowledge of God? What's the end of a society that takes the knowledge of God and exchanges the glory of God for the glory of critters, creeping things, of animals, or of people even? What's the end of a society that changes the truth of God into the lie? What's the end of a society that doesn't like to retain God in their knowledge? Verse 28. What's the end of that society? Well, it's verse 29, and it's verse 30, and it's verse 31. It's these awful characteristics that characterize a nation that's turning from God. And folks, the gospel works. The gospel is powerful. The gospel is practical. And when we forsake the gospel, here is what we're inviting into our communities, into our families. And I want to encourage you today to embrace the gospel of Jesus Christ and know that it is salvation to the Jew first, but also to the Greek. It's salvation for all who believe. And it's powerful because it will change your life. And it may not make everything all better, but it will help you deal with everything that you face. It will give you strength and courage and help and hope. And we need that desperately today. You say, well, what's going to be the outcome in America? Where are we headed and what's going to happen? You know, I wish I could tell you that. I think one of the things that we'll see happen if, you know, the current culture continues is that you walk into a public place and you say, where are your restrooms? And they'll say, oh, we don't have restrooms. No public restrooms. I mean, that's kind of the place we're headed to. And it's a shame. It's foolish. It's idiotic. But that's where we're going. I want to encourage you to realize we're in a downward spiral, but there's hope and there's an answer, and it's Christ. Now, let me give you one admonition as we just kind of wrap up here. Turn over to Psalm 127. Psalm 127. Because, you know, if there's anything that we need today, we need godly women, godly mothers, godly grandmothers, praying, praying, praying. I won't mention her name, but one of our ladies this morning in Sunday school said, would you pray for my grandson? And here's what she said. She said, I don't know that anybody else is praying for him. but I'm praying for him. I want to tell you, there's a lot of the people that you meet, some of them on Facebook and some of them on Twitter, some of them at Walmart, some of them on the highway. There's a lot of people that you're going to meet who don't have a prayer. They don't have anybody praying for them. They don't have a godly mother. They don't have a godly grandmother. They don't have somebody who's asking God to pour Himself into their life. And what's going to be the outcome of that person? I don't know. But folks, we all need somebody praying for us. And I don't think anybody can pray for you like your mother can pray for you. I mean, there's a hold that those ladies have on God. They just get a hold of God because they know they endured 9 months of you in their womb, kicking and pinching and biting and carrying on and all that stuff you got away with. Then they've endured all that stuff since. And they know you inside and out, and they love you with a love that just won't quit. And it's powerful. And I'm going to tell you, their prayers are powerful because their love is powerful. And we need more of it. We're the praying women. We're the praying mothers. We're the praying grandmothers of today. Well, in Psalm 127, verse 1. Look at this. It says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so He giveth His beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of thy youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." Well, I'm going to tell you, the enemies are in the gate. The enemies are in the gate. We have enemies. And some of them will pretend to be your friends. And the place that we've come to today as a culture is that we not only allow those things that we read about in our text in Romans 1, but we take pleasure in them. And we buy People magazines so we can read about those people and what they're doing and their activity. But may I just say to you, what we need today is for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ to be the church. It's to be holy, it's to be godly, it's to be a light. It's to shine the light of Christ into this dark world that we live in. Because there's no other answer. There's no other hope. He is our hope. Moms, you may not always feel appreciated. You may not always know that you're loved, but you are. And you are so vitally important. You're so important because God has given you this incredible capacity to love. So I want to encourage you this morning to realize, yes, there's significant issues and problems, but the love of Jesus Christ is the greatest, most powerful force in our world. And it can turn around families. It can turn around young people. It can turn around marriages. It can turn around churches. It can turn around nations. And while we look at our nation and say, man, I don't see how we'll survive. I don't see how we're going to keep going if we continue on this path. But you know what? God can change our nation. God could turn this country around. Driving down the interstate yesterday, and I was watching, because you know they've got that fence now in the interstate, in the middle. And I mean, it's a lifesaver. I mean, I'm all for it. I'm glad it's there. It's going to save lives. Because how many times, you know, Brother Ronnie Tullis' son was killed when a drunk driver crossed the median, hit head on, wrong way on the interstate. How many times has that happened? And thank God. But you know what? That fence is a pretty good illustration of where we are today as a society. You see, when you're a child, mom has to put up little bumper guards and little gates and, you know, keep you out of things, keep you from falling down the steps and keep you out of things that you shouldn't be in because you're a toddler. But you know what? As a nation, that's where we're coming. We have to have these fences up. Why? Because we can't be trusted. We've got to have this law. We've got to have this rule. We've got to have this regulation. We've got to have this and this and this. And folks, you can't put enough regulations and rules and laws in place to affect human behavior if people don't know Christ. The only way you can govern a people without the heavy fist of totalitarianism is through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if people have Christ, then they'll obey the laws and they'll do what they should do. And that's where we're headed. We're headed for a place where they're going to have laws and rules and restrictions. And you can't carry a gun. You can't do this. You can't. Because why? Because we're a nation that's rebelled against God. And we have no sense of right and wrong anymore. Well, I want to call you today just to realize Jesus is still able to turn this nation around. And where there's life, there's hope. It says here that God gave them over to these things. But then he also says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, he talks about some of the very same issues of homosexuality and all these kinds of things. And he says, and such were some of you, but you're washed. You're made clean. You see, God can forgive any sin. He can save anyone. That's the power of God. Let's bow our heads. So today our message is this, that we need to pray. We need to seek God for our own hearts and minds, but for the needs of our families, of our nation. Would you ask God today to do a work in our nation, how we need it? If all is well in your heart this morning, would you pray for the country that we live in? Would you ask God to pour out His love and His grace and His mercy on our nation? To forgive us for the ways we've denied Him. Forgive us for the ways we've turned away from Him. Forgive Him for the lie that we've embraced. Do you ask God to just forgive us? But maybe you need to ask God to forgive you before you ask for anything more than that. If you don't have Christ in your heart today, I want to invite you to open up your heart and your life to Jesus. It's a very simple thing, but it's a very powerful thing. And I want to encourage you that right now, pray a simple prayer to the Lord. If that's you, just pray. Say, oh God, I need you. Just tell Him, Lord, I'm lost. I'm a sinner. And I need you. Forgive me, Lord. Save me. Come into my life. Change me. I need you, Lord. Tell Him. From your heart, tell Him. Father, I thank you for every person in the room. Lord, bless each one. Lord, help them to be the person you want them to be. And Lord, that's going to be the place of joy and of happiness and peace, of blessing. Father, help us to start with our relationship with you. Father, if there's one here today who doesn't know you, and I mean absolutely know for certain that they've been born again, then God, convict their heart and show them right now. And Lord, help them to turn to you in repentance and in faith and to trust you. Lord, touch these moms today. Grandmothers, touch these ladies in this room because, Lord, they have such a special, special capacity to love, to pray, Oh God, we need them. Lord, bless them. Encourage them today. And Father, bless our families. How we need Your presence within the family. Lord, there's so much confusion. God, You're not the author of confusion. So Lord, we pray that You'll bring clarity and truth and understanding to our families and to our community, our nation. Father, pour Yourself into us, we pray. Bless this moment as we just bow before You and honor You in prayer, in seeking You, in confessing sin, and whatever it is You lay on our hearts, God. Give us grace in this moment.